Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
All right. The passage that we're dealing with is patience. That's it. Patience. I began this series back in July, and we're up to the fourth fruit this evening. If you don't already know it, you will discover as you look at these different fruits and kind of compare them with each other that there are common elements, qualities in many of them that show up in others. A part of the reason for that, as I pointed out the last time, way back in July, maybe some of you sharp people will remember, but anyway, the series, all of these fruits are based on God's love. That's kind of the common denominator, the foundation upon these fruits of the Spirit occur. Now, of course, this is true because love is so very basic to every person's life who takes seriously the challenge of living for Jesus. This seems to be particularly true, I think, in the fruit of patience. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The apostle's great chapter on love. After describing in verses 1 through 3 how utterly deprived a person is without love, Paul goes on to define what love is. I think it's notable for our study this evening that the first thing that Paul has to say in defining love in verse 4 is love is patient. Love is patient. Now, with respect to the fruits of patience and peace, which was the third fruit that we studied last time, it seems to me that there are many ways in which patience is similar to peace. However, even with their closeness to each other, they're not the same. And tonight, I want to talk about five areas or headings with respect to patience. First of all, what patience is. We're going to define it. Then, what patience is not. And then we'll see a picture of patience in the person of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we'll look at the effects of patience on other people around us. Fifthly, we'll consider some benefits of patience for each one of us, for us as God's people, as Christians. And finally, I want to talk to you a little bit about how patience is a learning experience. Let's begin by considering Webster's definition of patience. My 1996 edition defines patience. It probably doesn't mean this today, but anyway, it did back in 1996. Patience there is defined as enduring pain, trouble, etc., without complaining. Now, it seems to me that this definition of patience makes it a rather unpopular commodity. Even something that we don't want. When any kind of pain or trouble comes our way, usually the first feeling, the first reaction is, I don't like this. And more often than not, our reaction is a complaint in one form or another. And of course, that exposes something about us. We are not patient. The endurance part, I think, is something that's pretty easy. You know, it's there. And all you got to do is endure it. Now, you can commit suicide, of course, but, you know, endurance, you just do it. But without complaining involves a decision. You know, I can do it or I can choose not to do it. I can complain or I can refuse to complain. But I think, at least for me, patience is something that, or trouble is something I cannot endure without complaining. Now, could it be that because patience is defined as enduring pain without complaining, that in itself makes it a necessity that God include this fruit as a fruit of the Spirit? Which is to say, without the aid of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for sinful people to endure pain without complaining. We're not able to do it in our own strength. Now, as I've struggled to decide what to say about patience, I've come to the conclusion that I should not talk about patience as only something on a human level. It's not strictly a human issue. Now, certainly, Paul's letter to the Galatians was written to men and women. Patience is a truly human issue, but patience is an issue also that has a very definite connection with our relationship to our Creator. I think it's significant that there are many passages in God's Word which call our attention to God's patience. And therefore, I want to consider something of what God's Word informs us about the patience of God. One thing which caught my attention is that several of the passages in which the patience of God is mentioned say specifically that God's patience is meant to lead sinners to repentance and to salvation. We saw this twice in 2 Peter 3, the passage that I read earlier. There the apostle is writing about the delay of the promised return of Jesus. Listen to verses 9, 14, and 15 of 2 Peter 3. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And then again, verses 14 and 15. "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," that is, the coming of Jesus, or his return, "since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him." Now, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't even have to be a wise person to realize that God's patience is astounding. Actually, the patience of the Lord is beyond belief, apart from the faith that he gives us to understand patience. God could have, and by all human standards of justice, he should have killed Adam and Eve on the spot the moment they rebelled against him. He said, when you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. Now, by our human standards of justice, that's the sentence. Do it! But here we are, thousands of years later, and our patient God is still waiting to pass final judgment on the fallen human race. What amazing patience! The righteous and holy God is waiting thousands of years to pass out his promised reward for rebellion. It appears to me that something we learn from God's patience is one thing that patience is not. We human beings might view patience as an attitude or a state of inaction, in which a person sort of just sits leisurely in the sun waiting for something to happen. A perfect picture of laziness. This, however, is not what the Bible says patience is. We see that from Hebrews 6:12. The writer of the Hebrews says, we do not want you to become lazy, but, in contrast, to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Here, faith and patience are set over against an attitude, a lifestyle of laziness. True patience involves action and purpose. We see this if we think of what God's patience is not. Now, this is what God's patience is not. Is God's patience with us a situation where he just sits under a shade tree watching us in the struggles of our lives? Now, while he's watching, he's saying something like, ho-hum, whatever will be, will be. Is that really God's patience? That definitely is not God's patience as it's pictured in the Bible. God's patient observance of our lives is a very active involvement where he draws us to himself. Since this fruit and all the others is really a reflection of God's personality, it's in perfect harmony with what God has revealed himself to be. You may not use patience as an excuse for your lazy inaction to be actively seeing and serving the Lord. Now, of course, there's no better picture of patience to be found anywhere than that of the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the suffering servant. The Savior said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus was mistreated, spat upon, called names, and beaten, just to mention a little bit of what he suffered. In it all, he never lost his temper. He patiently endured undeserved harassment and ridicule without complaining. He patiently and deliberately did the Father's perfect will without complaining. In Matthew 18:21-23, Jesus told a story which shows how patient he has been and continues to be with us. and how we often respond. In the story, one man owed his employer an enormous debt of over $1 million. He begged for his master to be patient with him until he paid it, which was an impossibility in those days. But anyway, the master graciously canceled his debt and set the man free. In Jesus' parable, the free man turned right around and threw one of his fellow workers in jail because that worker could not pay a debt that he owed him of just a few dollars. God is patient with us, just like the master in the parable. And we also should be patient with others around us. Another example of the redemptive quality of the patience of Jesus is seen in 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul writes, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." What the Apostle Paul is saying there, if God can be patient with me, the terrible sinner that I am, don't you dare think that God can't be patient with you. He can. And he will be. He is. His present patient refusal to bring judgment on the world is a sign of his love, his desire to save any of you who don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. If we, by the grace and the strength of God, are patient with other people who touch our lives, it's going to have a profound effect on them. When we lovingly and understandingly bear with those who are buried in discouragement, maybe they're self-centered, difficult to get along with, when we patiently touch the lives of people like that, it will have quite an impact on them and others around who see it. The practice of patience by God's people, I think, is one of the surest signs by which even non-Christians can see something of the nature of God flowing out from us. That patience comes from him, of course, but it spills out into the lives of people around us if we practice the patience of God. The God-given and practiced virtue of patience will break down an unbeliever's resistance to the Lord faster than almost any other Christian virtue. In these situations, our patience will have something of that redemptive character of God's patience of which we have read from 2 Peter 3. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul gives us some guidelines concerning the practice of patience in our lives. Paul writes, "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Now that takes patience. But Paul, I'm sure, would say, by the grace of God, you can do that. Not in your own strength, but God will give you the power to live like that. If we, who have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, can live before men as Paul commands us here, it will convince men and women that there is more to Christianity than just mere theory. It will change their lives and bring about that redemption that is mentioned when God's patience is described in His Word. Not only does the practice of patience have an effect on the lives of people around us, but this fruit has some glorious benefits for us as believers also. One of those benefits is that we become stronger in character. We're enabled to endure almost anything. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Colossians 1, 10 through 12, in his prayer for his readers, that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Patient Christians become tough in their ability to endure hard people and difficult situations and still remain true to the Lord, still serene and at peace and stable without complaining about the troubles that we all go through. A second great benefit for us is as we are patient in difficult times and situations, we discover the great faithfulness of God in all things. We learn the joyous truth of Romans 8:28 that God really does bring good out of everything that happens to those who truly love the Lord. Patience enables us to see that and experience it. In closing, I want to make just a few remarks about patience being a learning experience. I want to tell you that it is not likely that this fruit of God's Spirit will come to you all at once. Not even in answer to your sincere and constant prayers. It just will not happen immediately. Patience is not something you lack one day and the next day you have it. Acquiring patience is not a quick fix and name it and claim it sort of thing. It's not that kind of an answer to your problems, whatever they may be. On the contrary, if you pray for patience, the Lord will likely bring into your life such people and circumstances that you won't be able to stand it in your own strength. Patience is developed in our lives as we come to the end of the road in ourselves. When we've come to the absolute end, when we have no one and no place to turn for help but to the Lord, then we are developing patience. We read of this in James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. The brother of Jesus, stepbrother, half-brother, whatever he was, but anyway, James says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. That was only 2,000 years ago, or something like that. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't think I want to pray for patience. If it's going to bring problems, I got enough. Thank you. I don't want it. Well, don't be afraid to pray for patience, even knowing that it's going to bring some kind of problem, evil, trouble, trial. God, with his abundant grace, will be there at the end of the road to sustain, to bless, and to deliver you. The Lord molds and shapes us into who he wants us to be through pain and trouble. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Godly patience will lead you to the discovery, the experience of this glorious promise that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, the promises that are there for us, promises that seem unbelievable, promises that tell us that you are with us, promises that tell us that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, promises that carry us through the troubles of this life if we will but focus on those glorious promises, especially knowing that the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so, Father, give us patience to endure, to trust you, and to be that shining witness that we see your patience being in bringing people to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Hear us then, in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.